Hi, everyone. Welcome back to the podcast. It's been a few months since we've done some, and I had mentioned when we did our last show that I'd be taking a break due to my husband's health. So we're doing our 2021 recap show, and I'm interviewing the same four people again. We're doing Lisa, Jim, Ken, and Melly. And I think it's good for people to follow how their health is going. So you're going to hear from each of the four of them. And then I'm going to read some updates from other people that I've called or sent messages to just to see how they're doing. Because I know I always wanted to know how people were doing. So stay tuned and enjoy these updates. Thank you. Hi, Jim. And I'm so glad you've agreed to do the 2021 recap with us because people just love you and love how you handle everything. And you've been so good informing us about your whole journey. So I want to get an update where you are, because we originally had you on episode 8 back in November 2019. That was kind of before we really started numbering them. So I know you are off the benzo during this past year, correct?
Mm-hmm, correct, yeah.
All right. But you still had an antidepressant to taper. So why don't you catch us up how you feel being off the benzo when you started the antidepressant taper, just so people get an idea of what you did. And you're still working.
Yeah. Well, first off, thanks for having me back, and thank you for doing the show. It's been an honor to be on here. I've met some incredible people who have listened to like my episodes and other episodes and reached out. That's always a wonderful feeling. And you just do so much for the community. And it's always a great resource to be able to direct people to your podcast.
Yeah. And it helps to hear our voices, you know, to hear, not just hear your story, but to hear you tell your story. So I think it is important.
Yeah. So thank you. The Valium taper ended July 4th, Independence Day.
Mm-hmm.
I stretched it out a little bit towards the end because I'm like, I've really put 6.5 years into this. I think I could make it a symbolic day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was a great idea.
It was. And it was fun. I mean, it was fun. And it was just, I don't know. I feel I'm healing. I know I'm healing. I'll get into it in a minute, but I started my Cymbalta taper. So I'm kind of dealing with that, but I know I'm healing. Things that tell me that I'm healing. One of the first things I noticed was some flowers outside of our house one day. I pass these flowers all the time. Mm-hmm. They're just flowers to me. And one day they just looked sharper. They looked better. Things just kind of felt like, kind of like they did when I was a kid, that kind of feeling. It's hard to explain, but
yeah.
And I got it and, you know, I had it for a while and it went away. But I was so grateful I had it. And it's come back a couple times, you know what I mean? So I get those feelings like that. Other things that tell me I'm healing, my GI issues seem to be better, even though I'm tapering, you know, an antidepressant right now.
Mm-hmm.
That seems better. I just seem a little sharper, I would say, too. One of the things, too, that told me that I was healing was I got back into something I enjoyed as a kid, was hiking. We used to have fields behind my house where I lived, and I would always, there was a forest back there, and I would always go hiking, and I started like going to like forest preserves, and I found an app called All Trails that has trails and forest preserves, and I made a list and started going to them, and that was another thing that told me I was healing, and it helped too to be outside.
Yeah, that's interesting. I like that idea.
Yeah. So yeah, so I started I jumped off the Valium July 4th, and then I started my Cymbalta taper on September the 19th. Now, it was right for me because, and I think probably in retrospect, you know, I think somebody else probably would have wanted to wait about 6 months or so to see how they were doing after the Valium taper. But for me, I kind of did the outline of what my Cymbalta taper would be, and it's going to end in 2024.
Okay.
Which is symbolic for me because I'm going to be 60 that year.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
And I was on antidepressants and anxiety medicine from 30 to hopefully 60.
Wow.
So I want to go to 90. I want to see what the next 30 will be without the psych drugs.
Right.
So yeah. So I jumped into that and it's going okay. I am lucky, I say that in little quotation marks, lucky that it's Cymbalta, because in Cymbalta, there's capsules that have these little beads. And by being lucky, I mean that it's easier to taper because I can actually count those beads. So once a week, I make up I will take one of my capsules, my Cymbalta capsules. It's a 20 milligram pill. It's got 120 of the beads in it.
Mm-hmm.
I'll take a certain amount out. And, you know, right now I'm taking everything but like 32 out of that. So quite a few. I put them in an empty capsule. I take my other 20 milligrams per day. But mm-hmm. I'm slowly tapering the balls, the beads. And, you know, it's, I just feel bad that other people don't have that option. I mean, I know people trying to get off of other medicines, you know, and they have to be compounded, and, you know, that can be expensive.
Right. And the one thing you've never done through the Valium tape or anything is you never put pressure on yourself, which I like. And people always think, oh, it'll be 2 years before I get off. It's like, who cares? You know, you're functioning, you're working.
Yeah.
I mean, luckily you work from home, correct? Mm-hmm. You're still at home?
Yeah. I'm still with the same job. I'm working for the cannabis company. It's a support center, call center. So I take about 60 calls a day.
Mm-hmm.
I like it. I get to talk to a lot of benzo people. It's amazing how many people are on, and I'm able to give them resources too. My job's really nice. I help people with what they need, you know, for cannabis wise, but a lot of times new people will call who are trying to taper off of medicine and they're looking for an alternative. So I'm able to help them. But yeah, I get to work from home. And when I'm on the phone with somebody, if it's a benzo person, I can be like, hey, do you know about Benzo Info? Do you know about the Ashton manual? I can send you, you know what I mean?
Right.
It's really nice.
Yeah. I mean, you're always helping people. Now, aside from that, and if people remember listening to your shows, you still have your meetup group, right? And then there's the Benzo Hope group. Are there two different ones or did they combine?
Actually, yeah. So we, the meetup group, because of the pandemic, and also I think going, you know, there's some good things that actually came out of the virus. I hate to say that. Like when I say that, it sounds weird.
No. I agree, especially for people sick from psychiatric drugs.
Yeah.
It has opened up a lot of people's worlds and I see more Zoom things happening, which I think is great.
Yeah. And that's what, so we closed down the Chicago group and I joined as a co-leader of Benzo Hope, which was, you know, started by Rich Silverstein.
Mm-hmm.
He's the founder. And there's, let's see, we have now there's four of us. Yeah. Four leaders. We might have another one. And it's really nice to share responsibility too. Like, you know, like if I'm not feeling well and I can't make a meeting and there's somebody who can, you know, lead for it and everything.
Right.
But yeah, it's going great. We're almost at 300 members. We're going to be 300 soon.
Okay.
If you go to Meetup, it's Benzo Hope. Just Meetup. You can Google that. You can sign up there. The meetings, the structure of the meetings, because, you know, it's Zoom. You have to have some structure to this because it's like herding cats. But it's really great because we have, you know, like 10 to 12 people. You get, you know, like an 8 to 10 minute share time, which doesn't sound like a lot, but it kind of is. You get a share and you get feedback, you know, if you want it and support. And it's just, I don't know, it's been amazing. That's why I'm off. I would not be off the Valium right now had I not had the sort of support group I started for myself, but also more, I think, this one, because this one has opened it up. We have people from around the world. We have somebody from Italy. We have somebody from Sweden. We have some, you know, two people from England, people all around the United States.
I mean, when I started my support group, I mean, we were just all online and you'd see different countries coming in. It was great. So I think Zoom is, you get to see them and, you know, they can walk you. I mean, some people, you know, you see their backgrounds and it's wonderful. I think it really, really helps. And you can almost see them sometimes getting healthier. Can you see that? I'm sure people can see that in you getting their eyes, you know, there's a little bit more sparkle in them. Their hair looks stronger and healthier. Their skin looks better.
Yeah.
I think it's great.
Yeah. We see each other and it's like, you know, like I'll remember somebody from their first meeting. And when you come to your first meeting, it's probably hard because you're new. You don't know people.
Mm-hmm.
But it's very emotional because it's like that first time you meet people who are like you, you know, besides being online. It's just very, it's hard. I get chills. I mean, I remember first time I found other people was just, you know, just meant so much.
Right.
But yeah, it's, you know, people come to their first meeting is, you know, emotional and stuff like that. Or sometimes people don't talk. They just kind of want to listen, which is fine too.
Yeah.
You know? But then you see them like, you know, five meetings later and, you know, symptoms have improved and they're doing this and they're doing that and their taper's going well. And you don't have to join if you're tapering too. Anybody, you know, we have people who are protracted, which is really important to like stress. you know, because I feel that like protracted, you know, people are sometimes forgotten about, you know.
And they need help. Right. They need the support. What about, do you ever get people's support people coming on just to hear other people's stories?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Good. Good. They need, there's the ones that really need to hear the suffering, you know. In fact, I did a Zoom with one of the support groups online, and you could see that somebody brought their husband in to listen, and it's important. Like, it's real what we all went through.
Yeah.
Well, you know, one of the shows that we did before I stopped doing them because my husband's sick, I did a show on setbacks. So one of the things I mentioned were some medications that have caused people setbacks, and I know you've been having some ear problems. Yeah. But aside from that, you had taken Flagyl for another thing. And through the benzo community, when I heard you took Flagyl, I got so worried. I'm like, is he okay? And I heard you did fine with it, which is why we always say we're all different. So for you, it actually helped. And we know there are a couple of others that had tremendous setbacks, you know, that they're trying to heal from.
Yeah. And it's important to know that, too. You know, that was one of the things. You know, I did some research, and I, you know, at that point I hadn't known about this other person. And also, you know, I, like I said, I do my research. I've been lucky though. I've been lucky that I've been able to do some things that other people haven't been able to do. And
right.
I don't take that lightly, but you know, that I'm happy with that. And I kind of have a high tolerance for things too.
Right. Right. Yeah. No, you've been great, and you've been open. And I think one of the things people have to learn when they hear your voice and how kind and gentle you are, that one of the things you did is you have a good relationship with your doctor. You never went in angry. You went in kind and to educate, correct?
Oh yeah, definitely. Definitely. And that's the issue I'm having with my ear. I'll be real quick about it. So I have a neti pot. It's not one of those pots that you do sideways. Mm-hmm. It's actually a bottle, and you kind of blow it up into your nose. Well, me being me, I squeezed it too hard one day and got water into my eustachian tube. So that, you know, it's been clogged. But you know, so many people have issues with pressure like this and ear issues. I mean, I've been, you know, and like I said, whenever something, I research it, but I don't go to the extreme where I'm upset. I try not to be obsessive, but that makes sense. Mm-hmm. You know, you kind of find a happy medium. But yeah, so my ear doctor, you know, I told him about this and everything. And, you know, I had a test done, and, you know, he's in the loop and everything. And he agrees that, you know, it probably is that. But how do we give me some relief from my symptoms right now?
Right.
You know, so, yeah. But yeah, I had a bad surgery once. I had something called an endoscopic thoracic symphotomy, which is a lot to say. Basically, it's called ETS. And what it was done, I had it two operations, 1999 and 2000. And it was for my hyperhidrosis, which is what got me on the Xanax.
Yeah, that started it.
Yeah, and I had it, and it unfortunately failed, and it made me have something called excessive sweating, like compensatory sweating, it's called, compensatory sweating. So I sweat like more than I did before. Mm-hmm. So yeah, and then, you know, when you mess with one nervous system and then another nervous system, you know.
Right, right.
But I'm doing okay.
Good. So anything else though, Jim, that, you know, as we're doing the recap and people can help, you know, I'm going to follow up again. We'll do it next year to see how you're still doing with the Cymbalta taper and as your body's still healing from the benzo taper, anything else you'd want to update us about?
I would say don't give up hope. Reach out. There's lots of resources. Benzoinfo.com is an amazing place to start.
It is.
Check out, you know, our group. We do it every Saturday and then every other Tuesday, and it's Zoom. And that's BenzoHope. You can find it BenzoHope if you go to Meetup. Mm-hmm. And I guess just don't be discouraged. And like you were saying earlier, you know, we're all different. So something may work for somebody and it may not work for them. Don't get discouraged.
Right. You know? Right.
So
good. All right. Thank you so much, Jim. I appreciate you giving me this time because I know you just ended working and then we were getting you right on to do this. So I really, really appreciate it.
I appreciate what you do. It means
all right.
Community.
All right. Thanks, Jim. We'll talk to you again. Bye.
Bye.
Hi, Melly, and welcome back to our second recap show. I'm glad to have you here. And actually, it's Carmela, but a lot of people online know you as Melly. Is that right?
That's right. Hi, Geraldine. Hi, Garrett. How are you?
We are both good here. So you and I haven't talked. We've been, you know, a little bit of messaging back and forth. So even I'm excited to see what's going on this past year with you. And I actually listened to the last recap show, and it was really interesting to listen to that. And I want to kind of compare a little bit. So if I remember right, February 26th of 2020 was your first day benzo free. Is that right?
The 27th was the first day benzo free. I think the
27th, right.
The last benzo.
Took your last pill. Yeah. Okay, perfect. And at that time, you know, when we interviewed, it was the excitement of being the first day. But when we did the recap show, mm-hmm. you were talking about the difference in your weight because you were 82 pounds. And at the recap show, you were 91 pounds at 11 months out. So, and then some of you, you had some pre-existing health conditions.
Right.
But some things were getting better. Because I want to just mention the POTS was better, the burning in the extremities, the brain zaps gone, the tightening in the throat gone.
Yes.
So what in this year, you know, what is left? Because you did have some pre-existing things with the interstitial cystitis. You know, what is left? Oh, and also pain, if I remember right. You had pain from the time you were young.
Actually, that was one of the reasons why I was put on the benzo. I had gotten ill and developed fibro and just chronic muscle joint pain from a really bad virus. And they gave me the benzo to help me sleep because it was going to put me in a restorative sleep. So I took it, and then gradually over the years, it was just increased. But my pre-existing conditions are there. They're manageable. I'm not in withdrawal anymore, and that's the big difference. So I don't have the issues that I have with taking the benzo where I was becoming sick when not taking it, if you follow. And I didn't even know it was because of the benzo. I would just get tightening of the throat in the middle of the day and just feeling really bad and just shivering, shaking, waking up at 3 a.m, nauseous, heaving over the side of the bed. So all of that's gone. So I'm not in withdrawal anymore. All of the other little things have gotten better. But I just do want to say that a lot of people, they don't realize that your pre-existing conditions are still going to be there.
Right.
You know, you're not going to miraculously not have diabetes anymore or whatever your issues were before. They're still going to be there. It's just that you're no longer in withdrawal or having them exacerbated by tolerance withdrawal or the medication, if you will. So everything has gotten better. I'm no longer in withdrawal. I don't have that tightening of the throat. My POTS is better. I'm just dealing with regular life like any other 62-year-old might.
Is your pain better? Because your diet, one of the things we talked about before, and especially because of COVID, that you had the time to be eating right, you were home doing everything, and I'm assuming you're still doing all of that now this past year?
I have slip-ups every now and again, like most people do.
Yep.
My diet is pretty good. I'm on a low histamine diet. If I venture out and I do something thoughtlessly and have something that's high histamine, I am going to suffer. Histamine was an issue for me before benzos. I just didn't know that it was histamine. Constantly going to allergists and having food issues prior to that. So it was just all made worse by benzo withdrawal. So yeah, I'm watching my diet. I have put on another 2 pounds, which is great, and maintaining it. I feel a little different in my body. I'm no means a big girl, but a pound or two here and there, I do feel it. So that's all better as well. I'm able to tolerate more foods. Even though I keep it low histamine, I can eat more. So that's good.
Oh, good, good. And is your pain any better?
I still have a lot of fibro pain, but I'm exercising now, which I hadn't done for a long time.
Okay.
So I'm on my elliptical. Yesterday, today I didn't do it. I did a half hour elliptical, another half hour floor work stretching. So I'm more active, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't even dream of going on my elliptical back then. So just slowly been building up with walking and just being more active
right.
in that respect.
So is that what's going on this past year, is that you're exercising more? Did that start this past year?
Yeah, that started recently, actually. I did it and then I stopped doing it because I was traveling and then got the flu in November. So that was a little bit of a setback.
Yeah.
Had some other family issues with other people being unwell. So that was a little bit of a distraction. But Yeah, so I'm back on exercising, elliptical, being more active, which is great. I just feel mentally better.
Okay.
I do. I feel mentally better. Like I'm not frazzled. I don't have that tightness in the throat. I don't have anxiety. It's just life now.
Right. That's wonderful. So one of the things I want to mention, because you and Art have gone to Florida a few times and I
Yeah.
keep missing you when I'm there.
Yeah.
And when people are sick in their home and they're suffering, they think they'll never have a life. But yet you and Art have been able to go down there and you're going, are you there now? Or I didn't even ask you where you are right now. Are you
I
there now?
no. I mean, actually, COVID has just put a spin on everything. And Arthur's hematologist, oncologist, really does not want us going to Florida not right now because of COVID. So I had booked a condo for 3 months, and I'm supposed to leave in about a week or two and stay until the end of April. So our doctors, both of our doctors, because I have an immune deficiency as well, put the kibosh on that. So I just had to cancel it. I am in contact with the landlord. I will be going. I don't know. I think this Omicron, which really hit my family hard and has been spreading through my family, just put a reality check in for us. We would have been there physically. We would want to go, and we would be okay to go. But the doctors kind of put a stop on it. So we will be going, but we won't be going now. So it'll be a month, maybe it'll be 2 months down the road. But so yeah, travel, which was halted when I was sick, is now. I don't even think twice about it. If I want to go, we go.
Good. And how is Art's health? Let's catch up on that because people are following your story. How is his health?
We were at the doctor yesterday. He's been about 14 or 15 months on this ibrutinib, which is medication similar to what your husband's been on. He was on Keytruda, I believe.
So he's doing an immunotherapy.
Yeah, he's doing that. And it took a while. It took about a year of being on that. And he finally got it good. His bloods are good. His counts are good. Unfortunately, these medications, as you know, cause a lot of side effects. So,
That's why Joe only went 6 months with it and he had to stop. So, I mean, if his Merkel comes back, I don't know what we'll do. I don't know. You know, hopefully there'll be another one.
there are other monoclonal antibodies you could try, or immunotherapies rather. So this is helping him, but it comes with a host of side effects. So with each side effect, he'll take a medication for. So to yesterday, they just added something for the high blood pressure that it's causing. And a whole bunch of other things, but what's the alternative? He's got to be well. You got to live. Yeah. So
So one of the things that I want to mention, and hopefully I will see you down in Florida because we won't go till I'm waiting. My sister has to get her knee replaced again. So once we get that date, we'll go down and take care of my mother and my sister. Is that one of the things people worry about that they've been sick for years and you know they've lost their careers and where are they going to pick up? And you sent me the most beautiful, beautiful bracelet for Christmas. And you have an Etsy shop now, and you are very talented. And I want people to know that you have this creative ability. I don't know if you had it before or because of all this. I'd like you to talk about that because there are some people that have developed these amazing businesses as a result of getting sick.
Yeah. Well,
So what is your site? How would somebody find you?
it's Lovely Girl by Melly, and it's on Etsy. And I did it because there were other people in our Facebook groups within the bento that started doing that, and I was getting inspired by them. And I'm like, gee, I could do this. And I've always been very creative. I did all my curtains in my home, and they're just beautiful. I did, furniture work. I always was very creative like that. So, being a dental hygienist, I just have a lot of dexterity with my hands. So I started doing the bracelets and giving them out to family and friends as gifts at parties. I would go in with 50 bracelets and hand them out. And then I started getting addicted and doing it because I found it very soothing and relaxing. And I would just do it at night. And from there, I've now started making rosary beads. And they're just, I have to send you one. They're just so pretty. That's my new fixation.
Right. They are. I hope people will go to your site. Again, it's Lovely Girl by Melly on Etsy. So pretty. In fact, they were so pretty. We turned around and my nephew, we ordered some for him to give out as Christmas gifts. They were he they're beautiful.
Thank you.
And I think in the benzo community, we should support each other, you know, as somebody starts a business.
Thank you. Thank you.
So here we are now. Another year has gone by. So what advice do you have? Now you're further off, and this is all we want to keep encouraging people, because you have seen that there's still even more improvements that you're seeing.
Yeah, there is. And, you know, I speak with a few people that are going through it, and they're just so panic-stricken that they're going to be stuck this way forever. And I just keep encouraging them that they're not. This is going to go away. Withdrawal is going to end, and you're going to be back to your old normal self, whatever your normal self was. Mm-hmm. So it does end. It does get better. Your body just has to settle down, because for me, it was 22 years on Ativan. 22 wow. years. My body was just so used to having it every day.
Right.
Doctors told me that I needed it. I kept taking it.
Right.
And now that I don't have it, it's not even a thought in my mind. I would never even take another one.
Right.
And I just feel so level and calm without it.
Yeah. And when people see the horror stories online, I mean, you and I were in touch while you were still tapering, and you were very sick and having a very hard time tapering. And I thought, because of your pre-existing conditions, I'm like, oh, she's going to take forever to heal, or she's going to be sick for you. And so, you know what? We can never even say that, because you've healed so much faster than others that didn't even have any pre-existing conditions. I have to say, I was shocked how well you've done.
Yeah. I think the difference with me is I know where to, I guess, draw the line. Like, I'm not going to go around blaming benzos for my health condition. So this isn't going to be better, and I'm off. I acknowledge all the things that are better that were from the benzo, from benzo withdrawal, benzo, you know, tolerance, or what was paradoxical. I mean, they were doing crazy things to me, those benzos. So now, if I have an issue, I mean, I know what my pre-existing conditions were, so I can address it as that and not as my benzo withdrawal, which I know is over, because those withdrawal symptoms don't happen anymore. The shivering, the shaking, the burning, the crying, the vomiting, the nausea.
All right. Well, I want to thank you for giving me this time, because I know you've got to leave to go somewhere, and I really appreciate you doing the recap with me.
Yes. Thank you so much.
All right. I hope to see you.
Yes,
I hope to see you in the spring.
I will be in touch with you.
All right.
Thank you so much. Be well.
Okay.
Take care. Bye.
All right. Bye-bye. Hi, Ken. Welcome back to our 2021 recap show. I'm so glad to have you on, because we first did you in June of 2020 and then did you for last year's recap. So, well, you were a short-time user. I just want people to kind of catch up with how you feel after this year has gone by. So how do you feel? What's going on?
Okay, so a real quick recap here. I was on the benzos for 4 months total. I took it for like 14 days and then quit cold turkey. And that's when all the fireworks started. And then I got polydrugged with other drugs and everything. Went crazy. Found you, found a new doctor, tapered me off benzos. And I think it was August 1st of last year August 1st of 2020 is when I ended my taper. And it was about maybe February that I started feeling normal. I never thought I'd feel normal again, because, as you know, I had the muffled hearing. I thought I was losing my hearing. The background noise was out drowning the foreground noise. Mm-hmm. And I really thought I was going deaf. And, of course, the ringing in the ear, too. All that is gone.
Good.
The muffled hearing, the balance of the hearing. I still got a little ringing in the ear, but I can deal with that. That's not a big deal. And everything else. So what I tell people is I feel like I'm really 100% mentally healed. Yeah. But my problem is, because I went through that, it really took its toll. I was a really fit guy, a bodybuilder, the whole thing. And it really took its toll on my body physically. And then I lost motivation. Of course, I'm still locked down because of COVID. Been home for 2 years at work. No end in sight there. So I really got this sedentary lifestyle. And my eating habits are really poor. All that being said, now that's all on me, you know, so I have a clear head, and it's actually hard to remember the mental anguish that I was going through. I used to call up my doctor and ask him if he could just admit me to the hospital, because I was going crazy, you know, and I seem to forget all that now. And I think your body or your mind has a way of forgetting trauma.
Right.
And so that's where I stand now. So this year I started, I think it was April 7th or whatever, 2020. That's when I took my first dose. So I'm coming up on a 2-year anniversary. So on August 1st, it'll be a 2-year anniversary that I stopped. So like I said, I was 4 months total on Ativan.
Right.
So that's where I stand now.
Yeah. And we want people to know that, you know, you happened to call your doctor, never even spoke to him, and a prescription was handed in for some stress because when COVID hit and your life changed. And I really hope people go back and listen to your whole story each time as we go along, what it's done to your life. And I think one of the questions I asked before is, you know, do you think of it anymore? And you had said before, you don't. Like, you do get on, right, and you feel like you wanted to be admitted to a hospital at one
Correct.
Point.
Correct. It's horrible. I'm surprised I kept my job through this. If we weren't home, although it was a catch-22, if the COVID thing never happened, this would have never happened to me.
Right.
But it happened to me because of that. And I'm like, the only way I kept my job was because I was working from home.
Right.
I would have lost my job.
Right. And how do you feel now working from home? Like, you're fully adjusted? I mean, it is what it is, right?
My DNA has like changed. I mean, I really want to go back to work, but I don't, you know, it's kind of a catch-22 here. I would love to go back to 2019 and pick up there. But my DNA has changed. I remember the first lockdown, the first 2 weeks. Remember how crazy that was? I felt like I was in isolation for 10 years. I was going crazy. It was only 2 weeks. Now I've been kind of isolated for 2 years, and it doesn't really bother me much anymore because I'm used to it.
Right. Yeah. I know. My husband and I sit, we watch every series, every show. Like, what else are we going to do? You know? So we've all gotten used to it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Isn't that sad?
Had I listened to the doctors, and I tell you what saved me was finding benzo buddies. Mm-hmm. And then remember I ordered your book. I think it was the Ashton manual. I gave you the wrong zip code and you called me.
That's how we got in touch, right? See, that was a good error you made.
And then I got a new doctor who happened to be a friend of mine. I coach baseball with him, and he was spot on, totally got it, understood it. So between all those, had I just listened to my original doctor, and I swear they should be thrown in jail, but that's my opinion, how careless they are prescribing this stuff, because it ruined my life. I'm better now, but physically now I got to get myself back physically.
Right.
And that's my project this year. So mentally, I'd say 100%. I even drink alcohol. I had a couple beers last night. You know,
right.
I go to rock concerts again. You know, I film rock concerts.
Right.
And I did that over the weekend, and I could never, with my hearing the way it was, I could never go into a loud situation. And I everything's perfect as far as that's concerned, mentally, hearing wise. So,
and when you, I know we talked briefly, when you do drink, you're very careful. You never overdo with it, right?
No, I got to tell you, because I was one of those social drinkers. I didn't drink every day. I mean, I could not drink for 3 months and not have a drink. If there's something to do, like a concert or a function or whatever, then I was kind of one of those, like, you know, I drank a lot. I drank a lot of beer. That's all I drank, was just like light beer. And I enjoyed it. I like sipping, and, you know, I just enjoyed the whole alcohol thing. And it really affects me differently now, you know, like my tolerance level. And I guess it's a good thing I'm older, but it really affects my tolerance. So one or two beers, it, you know, really, I can feel it now.
Right. Well, you know, I'm not a drinker, but I have had other people tell me they will have a drink occasionally, but they cannot drink like they used to. So,
And I guess that's a good thing, but if I, you know, because when I would trim down and strip down my body fat and all that kind of stuff, I would just stop drinking, you know, for 4 months or whatever, because I couldn't. But it was voluntary. It's because I wanted to, you know, and this wasn't voluntary. This was, I felt like it was forced on me. And that, because I'm like, I don't need to drink, but I want to drink if I'm at a wedding or if I'm here or if I'm there. I want to have a couple of beers, and I can do that again.
Right.
I guess that's my, I can do that again.
Yeah.
And my sleep is, that was another huge problem I had, was my sleep. And my sleep is, it feels good to have heavy eyes and fall asleep. I didn't have that feeling for over a year. Mm. It was so, and I never had a problem sleeping. And my sleeping is getting back to normal. It's not where it was, but it's a lot better.
Good.
And I think it's just going to get better. So,
right.
Yeah.
So you're one of, I'm going to say one of the lucky ones, in the sense that, you know, this happened to you, so now you're more cautious in your life, but you didn't lose a marriage, you didn't lose a job.
Right.
You know, there are so many that have lost so much because of this. And you were just a short time user that first 2 weeks, and it turned your life upside down.
It should be, and we've talked about this before, it should be like the there should be PSAs about the dangers of benzos, just the way there is with oxycodone and, and opioids like that. If I bang my thumb and went to the doctor, oh, we got to give you some oxycodone. I said, well, no, I don't. I'll just take Tylenol. Because I know. But this, I really thought it was a glorified Benadryl.
Yeah.
Because I used to take Benadryl sometimes to relax and, you know, at night once in a while. And that's what I thought this was, just a glorified Benadryl. I had no warnings, even because I picked it up. I picked the prescription up through the drive-through. Yeah. So I guess the pharmacist is supposed to pull you over aside and kind of warn you the dangers of benzos. But like I said, I called up my doctor. I said, maybe you can give me something for stress. 20 minutes later, I get a text on my phone saying your prescription's ready at CVS. So I go through the drive-thru, pick up the prescription. It was, the prescription was 1 milligram of Ativan 2 times a day. So that's what I did off the bat.
Yeah.
That dose. And then when I stopped cold turkey after 14 days, it was a living hell.
Yeah.
And that's when I found the benzo boards and then eventually found you and found a new doctor. And just, I really thought my life was over because I had the blurry vision. My balance was off. And of course, I had the hearing issues. And all that is gone. You know, it's all gone. It's all healed up.
So the one thing you would want to say to everybody, because probably at this point, you know, to recap you next year, you're good. You're good to go. Now it's like you said, it's on you. Is the to encourage people, if you had to do like a taper all over again, you know, I've always said, get your body healthy first, because we see so many that are sick after years and years and years, and you weren't even on them for years, and look what
Four months,
and look what it did to you. So your last words of encouragement to give people hope to know that no matter what, you're going to get better. What would you say?
Yeah, well, if you're on a taper, so what I was, and I really forced myself to have an impeccable diet, you know, I didn't drink coffee, and I was actually running, and I was lifting a little bit, but I used to look forward to going to the gym and look forward to running. It let off those endorphins that you actually crave. And when I was doing that, I was just forcing myself, and I hated it. I was struggling and hating it, but I know you got to move, you know, and another thing, and I didn't get a lot of sun, a lot of vitamin D. You need to get out and get vitamin D in the sun because of the sedentary lifestyle. I was inside. So I think, to me, if I could give anybody advice, do that. Have a healthy lifestyle, you know, move, walk, run, lift. You don't have to lift a lot, you know, heavy weights, but just get your body moving and have a good diet. I think diet is the key to everything.
Right. So, I do too.
So, yeah, to expand on that. So I lost, I was down to 153 pounds and I could not gain weight. I look like a skeleton. I could not gain weight. And now that it's over, so after it was over, I'm like, I got to gain some weight, but I gained it back wrong, you know?
Right.
So I'm actually, if it makes any sense, I'm worse physically today than when I was going through the taper, if that makes sense.
But that's only, do you think that's only because of COVID and you're still working in the house? Because I know when you and I first talked, you had this amazing regime of going to the bank and going for coffee and doing
the
post
and
office and the gym before you went to work. Is it because of lockdown? Like this, like you said, it's on you. If COVID hadn't happened, you'd be very active and you would have stuck to a good diet. But we kind of all got lazy. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. 100%. And the thing is, I think, so if I didn't get prescribed the benzos, I would have got out of that little conundrum that I was in. It was just something, I should have meditated or something like that or whatever. But if I got through that little hump of stress that I was going through, I would have been fine. You know, but you added the benzos. I took them too long where I got dependent on them, not knowing, stopped. And then that's when all the fireworks hit.
Right.
And then they polydrugged me. They put me on, Paxil, Effexor, and then Trazodone, because I couldn't sleep at night. And I took one pill each of those, and I, 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 I thought I was going to kill myself. It was so bad.
Yeah.
And I threw them out. And then I started the taper, because if I just did that 14 days and say I knew you or somebody who could guide me, or even my doctor who prescribed it, because when I went back to him, I said, I think I have a dependency on the Ativan. He goes, oh no, you weren't on it too long. It's 14 days.
Yeah.
So had at that point, he says, okay, you need to go on a taper. So besides the Paxil and besides the Trazodone and the Effexor, instead of prescribing me all that, he should have just put me on a nice taper plan at that time after 14 days. And I would have been so much better.
Right.
But, I didn't know.
I can't remember when we did the recap last year, because I think I had asked you, did you ever contact that first doctor? Were you going to send him a letter? Did you ever?
I did not. You know, I was so bitter and angry for so long. But right now it's like, there is no way. It doesn't even bother me anymore. You know, that was that, right. Like I said, my mind is complete, because my mind wasn't right. And I was so bitter and I was so angry. I thought my life was over and I just wanted to go after that doctor. I wanted to sue him. You can't do that, but you know what I mean? Right. I wanted to just make sure he knew how much I suffered. But then after I kind of healed up, I go, all that's going to do is reconjure up all these old feelings. And why go down an avenue like that when you don't have to? So I don't care anymore. You know,
right.
I will never go to him.
Right.
I will
but
never
here's
go to
the thing.
Him.
Yep. Is he still doing it to other people? You know,
true.
Like,
true.
Like, we should send him the podcast, have him listen to it. And maybe he'll think twice before he ever does it to somebody else. Just so.
I don't think I know this guy. He was an arrogant guy. You know, he's one of the top doctors in Hartford. Mm-hmm. And I know this guy. And I remember, because I'm not anti-vaccination, but I'm anti-over-vaccination. Mm-hmm. And I remember, at 50 years old, he said to me, he goes, you're a very young 50-year-old. No medication, all my numbers, flying colors, perfect numbers. He goes, but it's time for your booster shot for tetanus. And I go, well, what do I need that for? I don't want it. And I don't want it. He goes, well, what if you step on a nail? I go, well, then I'll get a tetanus shot, but what do I need it now for? You know? Mm-hmm. And he almost had me talked into getting it against my will, and he knew I was adamantly against it. And that's, you know, instead of kind of respecting my decision and saying, say, okay, here's the pros and cons.
Right.
He was pressuring me.
Right.
Saying, yeah, yeah. And that's, so if he heard this podcast, he would just think I'm an idiot.
Yeah, well, you know, when they don't want to listen, but yeah, I mean, you hope he isn't doing it to more people. That's the only thing you can hope for.
Yeah, he probably is. He's probably done this before. Mm. And but what am I going to do?
Right. I know. I know.
Think he would think I'm a buffoon. That's how he was kind of an arrogant guy. He's smarter than me. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you should see what we go up against in the State House where, you know, they think we're the idiots.
That's where I would love to testify, in front of the State House, Congress, whatever. You ever do that, pull me in.
All right. Well, Ken, thank you. I really appreciate you doing the recap, and I know you're healthy now, and that's what counts. And like you said, now it's up to you to get your body back in the pre-Ativan shape.
It's all on me, because before this, right? I mean, like, I always said I could deal with physical pain, but not this mental pain. Yeah. And that's kind of like how it is right now. So I got to get my body back in shape. But it's totally on me. And I don't blame benzos for that. I blame myself for that. Where before, with the mental anguish, I blame benzos.
Right.
And I would annoy everybody I talked to, because I just could not stop talking about
that. Was me. Yeah. You can't stop talking about how much you've been harmed. And I always said, I'll take the physical any day over the mental. Unfortunately, I had a lot of mental. It was horrible. Horrible.
Horrible. Yeah, horrible. Geraldine, you want to meet maybe in 6 months or a year again, and I can tell you how I'm doing on my physical part. So
all right. Yeah. Then you know what? Yep. We will have you next year for our 2022 recap then. All righty.
Because I'm not completely healed, because now I got to get my body in shape, which is on me and not benzos,
but
it was the result of the benzos.
All right. We'll do the same four of you again then next year. All right, Ken. Thank you.
Thank you. Keep up the good work.
All righty. Bye.
Okay. Bye.
Hi, Lisa. Welcome back. I have been dying to get your update, because normally we'll talk on the phone or something, but neither one of us have had a lot of time. So we did you back for episode 28. And so I don't have a lot of questions to ask. I'm probably going to ask as we're going along, because I know you've been healing as you've been tapering. So I just want you to be able to tell everybody what's been going on since the last recap. Where are you at?
All right. Well, thank you. I don't remember the date of the last time we had a recap.
In January. We did it a year ago in January.
Oh, that long. Oh, my God. Well,
yeah.
I just went back. I take scrupulous notes in a detailed spreadsheet. And so I went back just the past 3 months in my notes to see, mm-hmm. you know, where I've come from since October. And in October, that's when I began really being able to taper much faster than I had previously. I think it's because I was in such better shape. You know, my body was able to do it.
And so you've continued with your diet. You've continued with your exercise, right? Because yep. I see you in April when I was in Florida, right?
Yep.
And you look so healthy, and you were doing a lot of working out and still doing a meticulous diet, having your food delivered.
Yep. I'm still doing that. Since the weather has gotten, and you're going to laugh, since it's gotten colder here, the pool is colder and the ocean is too cold for me. Mm-hmm. So instead of swimming all the time, I'm walking.
Okay.
So that's a huge improvement, because from the POTS that I had developed, I wasn't able to walk for long periods without having POTS symptoms. Mm-hmm. Now, that's what I do for my exercise, is walk. And I have no POTS symptoms at all. My heart rate is, it never spikes like it did before. And mm-hmm. and I have to contribute that to the essential oil concoction that I have a special recipe that I made for tachycardia. And when I take it, it works. And if I don't take it, I start to get symptoms again. So I'm just going to keep on taking it.
Yeah. And do you think that's probably still because you're tapering, and then eventually you're not going to need the essential oils?
I hope so. That's the plan. Mm-hmm. I've also become low in B12, which I've read could be a result of the benzos.
Yeah, we have had quite a few people that had B12 deficiency. So that's why I'm big on, people say, I'm never going to a doctor again. I think if you have a good doctor, it's important to get your vitamins and minerals checked.
Yeah, and my iodine and my D3. And I recently, a couple of weeks ago, got Omicron. And, I called Gary, my functional medicine doctor, and told him what I was doing. And I actually made other essential oil pills with antiviral properties. And so I think that was part of how I healed that so quickly as well. Mm-hmm. I made roll-ons. And so I am doing so much better. I mean, even since I saw you in April, I'm doing so much better. When I saw you, I was exercising, eating well, I was socializing, I was dancing, I was going to the beach, I can swim in the ocean so far, farther than I've ever swam before, but like I said, it's too chilly now to do that, so now I'm focusing on walking. There's an outdoor gym down the street right on the beach, so I started to do some upper body workouts. They have some machines for that, which I hadn't gotten to upper body because of the POTS. Mm-hmm. And I'm doing it very carefully, so I don't make my heart rate go too high.
Right. And I want to remind people that at the point Christy Huff put you and I in touch with each other, you were on two benzos, correct?
Yep.
Bedridden.
Yeah.
You were swollen, couldn't function at all.
No, couldn't do anything.
And in switching, and number one, you know, we got you a doctor who realized there was an inert ingredient in your benzo that was making you sicker than you should have been. Mm-hmm. And then you started to work with Dr. Gary Krakoff, who does functional medicine.
Yep.
And he said, hold your taper. Mm-hmm. And let's get you feeling better first. And I'm a big believer in, you know, to taper from a sick body is too hard. And now you've only been getting healthier and healthier, which is why you've been speeding up your taper. Is that right? Plus all the good stuff you're doing for you that works for your body.
Well, and it feels like my body wants me to speed it up. And mm-hmm. and so how what started in October was I kept forgetting. I was on 4 doses a day, and I kept forgetting my 5 o'clock dose. So after a week of forgetting it, I said, well, obviously my body doesn't want it. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't keep forgetting it. And I would have symptoms, and I didn't. So that gave me a sign. You know what, Lisa, your body's telling you it's time to go faster. So I went down to 3 doses a day.
Mm-hmm.
And I looked at the Ashton manual, and at the dosage level I was at, she recommended 2 doses a day. So I switched over to 2 doses a day, which was a game changer.
And did you up the amount of the other 2 doses, or you just cut out that third dose?
Cut them out. So I just divided what was in the third dose. I divided right. it in half, mm-hmm. added it to the morning dose. So now I have
two okay. doses.
And what it's done for me, like psychologically, is I'm not tied to my phone alarms going off every 4 hours. So it's like it made me feel like I graduated to a level where, like, the bell doesn't have to ring so much in between classes. Like, I have to take responsibility for it myself. And it just made me feel better. Like, it made me feel like, oh, I can see the finish line now.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I went from four doses to 2 doses. I'm getting there.
Right. And you're still dry cutting using a scale, right? Weighing out what needs to come out?
Yes. And that I've changed that a little bit too. So because my body seems to want to cut more. Starting in October, I went very, very slowly for the whole month of October. 1/100th of a cut a day, which is really, really hard to cut on a jeweler scale. And it is so much work and so time consuming that one day I ended up, I make 2 weeks at a time. I started at the wrong end of the box. And so I ended up cutting 3/31 off of the dose, and I didn't recognize I had done it for 3 days, and I had no withdrawal symptoms at all. And I was like, okay, well, let's wait a week and stay at this, but just cut a 1/100th a day and, you know, wait a couple of weeks, see if it catches up with you. Well, it never caught up with me. So I was like, oh, this is pretty good. Mm-hmm. Why don't I do more than 1/100th a day and see what happens? And so I started doing that. And so now what I've done for the past 3 months is I'll do a big chunk, and then I'll do other smaller chunks, but still not the 1/100th. So I'll do like 4/100ths, like basically wherever the pill ends up weighing. If it's within 5/100ths of weight, I'll just use it. Because it's just so much work, and I'm so sick of cutting the pills. I just want it over with.
And I know we have to go with what's going on with our lives, but do you have a guesstimation of when you're going to be off?
I'm trying to figure that out. So my goal is I want to be off as soon as possible, which isn't possible. So I have to go with my second goal, which is as fast as my body will let me. So at this point, if I continue at this rate, I'm tapering more than 10% a month for the past 3 months. And I've been exposed to mold, and I have mold inside of me that I'm using supplementation, working with Gary to detox from, which is causing night sweats. Well, night sweats are my withdrawal symptom. So if I'm going to have night sweats anyways, I might as well have night sweats and withdraw at the same time. I'm sweating. I might as well sweat.
Right.
So I'm like, okay, so I'm going to continue to do this faster pace, and hopefully I can be done with this in 6 months.
Okay.
I mean, that's...
Yeah.
I
mean, and again, no pressure on yourself. You're just kind of hoping.
I'm hoping and praying that my body's going to allow me to do this. So right now, my morning dose, I'm down to less than 1/4 of a 5 milligram plus the rest of it. That's the part that I'm tapering. I'm hoping that after a couple of more weeks of that, I'll have just enough left that I can do another big cut, like a 2/100th cut. And then that morning dose, I'll be down at 10 milligrams. Then I can do the same thing with 5 milligrams of my nighttime dose.
Okay. So, Lisa, one of the things, because I know you eat all organic, you're alone, you don't have any help. And even during this, your father was on hospice and has passed away. Mm-hmm. So for anybody who says they're alone, they're under stress, blah, 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 you have forced yourself to eat good. And then when you could finally get up and get out of the bed, you know, slowly, and I know you slowly started to work out, what would you say to somebody? Like, you got to start somewhere for those that, and I know they're sick and it's so hard because they say, I don't have the strength to cook. You keep it pretty simple, right?
I make the same things all the time because I'm allergic to so many things.
Mm-hmm.
I limit my diet to things that I know I'm not going to react to. So it's a boring diet. Like if I was feeding a family and my children were young still, they'd say, Ma, you always make the same things.
Mm-hmm. Well, but what do you make? Like, give us an idea. So if somebody's like, all right, I'm going to try to start to eat better.
I make a protein, and that's the major part of my meal. I make a vegetable. That's the second major part. They're about equal. And then to gain weight, I have to add a carb. And that's where I have my problem, is that I don't like carbs. I'm full by the time I get to the carb, but I have to force myself to have some carbs.
Would you have for the carb?
I make a lot of like gluten-free quinoa.
Mm-hmm.
And I mix it with olive oil and lemon and parsley and tomatoes. And then I'll eat the whole bowl of quinoa like all week. I'll have it's a little with my lunch, a little with my dinner. So I'm having a little bit of carbs that taste good. Or mm-hmm. I'll do a sweet potato and I'll cook a really big one and I'll have a sweet potato for a couple of days in a row as my carb. And I cheat. Don't get me wrong. I definitely do cheat, but very, very infrequently. So like I'll allow myself to cheat like once a month.
Do you do smoothies?
I don't.
Or protein drinks, I should say, protein drinks.
I don't, because the protein drinks that I was doing, every time I had a protein shake, I would vomit. And I was like, what's up with that? So I looked into the ingredients and lo and behold, hydrolyzed pea protein has very high glutamate. Well, benzo withdrawal, we have high glutamate because our GABA receptors are broken and they aren't able to eat up the glutamate. So the last thing my body needs is more glutamate.
Right.
And
right.
So it made sense that my body was vomiting it up. So there are a few protein shakes that I will take occasionally on an emergency. If I'm out and about shopping and I'm at Whole Foods, I'll grab one to like drink on the road. But I have to get my protein from animal protein.
Right. I did vegetarian for a while. I only got sicker. So I think when we're sick, we need the protein. If somebody wants to go vegetarian after that, when you're healthy, that's fine. But I do think we need protein. So what's an idea of breakfast?
So for breakfast, I do Larabars. So Larabars have between 3 and 6 or more ingredients. I pick the Larabars that have the fewest ingredients. So if I have a reaction, I'll know.
Mm-hmm.
And they're made of dates, almonds, nuts, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
I'll also have, because I do dairy-free, I'll do coconuts milk yogurt with chia seeds and flax. And frozen mango and frozen wild blueberries. The wild blueberries are to help detox my liver, which is so busy detoxing mold and heavy metals and having to process the benzos that I need to support the liver.
And it's great. Blueberries are wonderful for the brain. I think they're one of the best things.
So, I mean, for that, you know, that's breakfast.
And okay.
I can't eat like large portions. I nibble through the day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I like to do like lentil soup. I made a bunch of chicken salad today. So, you know, I do a lot of protein. Like, protein is my go-to. And that's what makes me feel strong and gives me that energy to be able to take a mile and a half walk a day. Without the protein, I feel really, really weak, especially if I eat a lot of chicken instead of a lot of red meat or salmon and fish.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what it is. The chicken and turkey don't give me the protein I need. And I'm like ravenous. I go back to my, cause I, you know, I'm like, well, I shouldn't be eating so much red meat. Well, it seems that my body craves it. And when I eat it, it makes me feel better and I do better.
Yeah. I craved it a lot when I was sick. I absolutely craved it too. Yeah.
Really interesting.
Yeah. And whenever I get sick, I crave beef. Yeah.
So maybe it's the iron in it, whatever is in the beef and lamb. I mean, I'm half Greek, so I have to have my lamb.
Mm-hmm.
I have lamb like 3 times a week.
Yeah, I do lamb too. Yeah.
And I do a lot of salmon, a lot of salmon, either raw salmon or cooked salmon. And, you know, I take fish oil and, you know, I've changed and done everything to, like, I make my food my medicine. So if somebody offers me something like an orange cheese ball, even though I love orange cheese balls, I'll say no thank you right now, because I don't want anything to turn my body back into the sensitive one that couldn't function before.
Right. And that's, I think, one of the things I want people to hear is, you know, how ill you were. Like, can you heal while tapering? Well, you're a perfect example of that. You are not only healing, but you're thriving.
Yeah.
You know, you the other night when I was texting with you, you're like, oh, I'm going out with friends. I'm going to be driving up A1A. And I'm thinking, wow, look at that. You weren't even driving when I was down there before.
I didn't drive for years. And I drove not only, I'm used to driving now about 10 minutes. And I always take the back roads. That night, I had to drive all the way. I had to drive 20 miles in the dark.
Wow.
And usually, I would be like, no way. There's no way. I'm going to freak out. I can't do it. And I had no fear at all. And we didn't leave the place until 11 o'clock at night. And driving home, I was like, this is so pleasant. I was so relaxed. All the Christmas lights are still up on the palm trees. And I was happy as could be. Like, look what I can do.
Yeah.
And on top of it, the most important goal that I achieved in this past year is my biggest goal was getting use of my hands again. And to be able to cut an onion fine and to cut potatoes and carrots. And I can do them all. I made a stir fry with a friend the other day and I cut every single vegetable and she's like, why are you smiling so much? And I said, I achieved my goal. I can't believe it. Like, I did it. I can do what I thought I was never going to be able to do again.
I need these little things that somebody would be like, well, what's the big deal with that? You know, it's a big deal. You know, when you can, as your body got sick and you can't do things you used to be able to do, that's wonderful news. You know, I want to just touch upon the mold, because I happened to be reading in one of the groups the other day and different ones were saying they were exposed to mold. What does Gary have you on for the mold?
I'm on NAC and another pill called, let me get the name of it. And so the NAC is like
for the liver, right?
Yep. And it helps, you know, pull the mold out of the body.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other one is called phosphatidylcholine.
Oh, phosphatidylcholine.
Yes, exactly.
Okay.
And that produces extra bile to help break the biofilm of the mold. So there, I guess mold spores are covered with, I think of it as like saran wrap.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to break through the saran wrap in order to get to the goods.
Okay.
And so it it, you know, it made me feel very sick, very much like withdrawal symptoms. So, you know, I had to have a call with Gary to discuss, you know, what's withdrawal and what's the mold detox, since they're kind of overlapping.
Mm-hmm.
And really, it doesn't matter.
Right. Are you still in your, I know that you moved out of that, I love that place where you were living. We loved being there. Are you still at your dad's place?
I am still at my dad's place.
Okay.
And, I am dealing with so much stress. The AC's breaking, all the plumbing's gone, the sliders won't shut, like major stuff,
right.
Live electric wires. And people are like, how do you do it? And I'm like, with what I've been through,
yep.
This is nothing. Like dealing with a broken air conditioner is so easy to fix compared to dealing with getting off of benzos.
Right.
That I have such perspective that, like, these are problems, but these are just little teeny bumps in the road.
I know. Well, with all that I've gone through, you know, with Joe being sick, people say to me, how do you handle the stress? But the same thing I say, after what I've been through, you just... These are minor things in life that, all right, we'll just get them fixed. Don't worry. Don't worry. We'll just get them done. So I hope what we've done here tonight with you, and this is why I really want to keep, I'll have you back again next year, mm-hmm. to show people, say, I can't heal while I'm tapering. Yes, you can. You have made the effort. You have made yourself a full-time job.
Yes.
So, and did you have a lot of support? No, you did not, you know, and people need to see that. You were alone, just ordering stuff on the internet to get yourself to the point where you could get out.
Absolutely. And, you know, even now, now that I can go out and I can go to a store, I couldn't go to a store because the lights were so bright and all the mm-hmm. people, and, you know, it was like, I would just freak out. I can do that now. And I cannot just go to one store. I can, like I used to do, I can go out and do errands.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you're like a real person again while tapering. Everything's, you know, you don't overdo, right? You never overdo.
No, I can't. I won't allow myself to overdo. And when I do, I pay the price.
Yep.
I'm only halfway through my taper of a huge amount of Xanax. So, you know, I'm not even down to, I'll be at 25 milligrams of Valium once I finish this little piece.
Mm-hmm.
So I still have a long way to go in terms of the amount of drug that I have to take.
Right. But you're living life. You're not in that incapacitated, not you know, all. So bedridden, and it's okay.
And nobody can tell. Like when I tell them I'm disabled, they're like, why? I mean, no one can see my neck injury mm-hmm. and no one can see that I am going through benzo withdrawal. So I'm totally different. Before, you looked at me and said, what is wrong with her? Oh my God, she looks so sick.
Mm-hmm.
And now I look healthy as I look so healthy.
Yeah. I mean, you look fantastic when I saw you in April. So I'm sure it's even better now. So I'm hoping when we come down, you know, I've got to get down to help my mother and sister. Hopefully we'll get to see you.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah.
All right, Lisa, thank you. This has been so informative, and I think will give so much hope to people.
I hope so. I hope
yeah.
so.
Oh, I know so. Yeah.
I felt that I felt I would never get out of it. I would never get to a point where I would be able to cut an onion again really mm-hmm. fine. And I made Greek meatballs yesterday.
Nice.
And so I cut the mint, I cut the onions, and I can do the things I thought I could never do again. And it's beyond gratitude.
Yeah. And that's what we want people to know. You can get your life back again, just one step at a time. You didn't overwhelm. It was just, you know, you did what you could do till you could do the next step and do a little more.
Yeah. And it's been a slow, slow road of up and down roller coaster trips to hell and back again.
Mm-hmm.
But I've seen how bad it can get. So I know how much better it can get.
Right. Right.
And I'm almost halfway there.
Yep. You are. You are. All right, Lisa. Thank you. And I hope to see you in a few months.
I hope to see you in the nice warm weather.
Yeah.
And maybe we can even dance.
There you go. There you go. We'll be celebrating.
All right.
All right. Talk to you later. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye. All right, so we just finished the update with the four that I've been following, and I'm going to probably follow them again next year. And we've done, you know, Melly, Jim, Ken, and Lisa. And I think you'll learn from each of them, you know, what they're doing for themselves, how they do their taper, or when they finish their taper, how they're leading their lives. But now I want to get into a few other people that we've done podcasts with in the past. I've called some or sent messages to some to get an update with how they're doing. So let me get into that. We interviewed Millie Keeve from the UK in episode 7, and I actually called Millie. We had a lovely chat, and you know, we did that podcast back in November of 2019. Now, Millie runs the organization april.org.uk, which stands for Adverse Psychiatric Reactions Information Link. She's winding down her charity, which I can't blame her since she's in her 80s and still such a powerhouse of information and advocacy work. Millie has fought for years to bring awareness to medications that can cause psychiatric side effects. And one of her main aims is non-psychiatric medication that can cause psychiatric symptoms. She has organized 3 major conferences, is still giving evidence about medication safety, and is trying to change medical education so doctors can weigh out the benefits versus any harm before they prescribe a drug. It's worth looking at her website before you take a medication. You can go on her website. You'll see she has a YouTube channel and also Vimeo. You can look at her different speeches and what she's done. So again, at her age, she has done amazing work. My husband and I actually had the opportunity to have dinner with her when she and her family were here in Boston. And it would be worth going back and listening to her episode. She is a wealth of knowledge. The next one I wanted to do an update with is Lindsay, who was episode 16. We interviewed her in March of 2020. Now, again, go back and listen to her story. But Lindsay was prescribed a steroid, a fluoroquinolone, and then a benzodiazepine. So you want to talk about somebody who was harmed and sick. She was so sick that, you know, back then, and I wanted to get an update to see how she's doing. She said, I took my last dose of clonazepam in 2009. I've been seeing improvements since that time. I am 71, so I had to work at it. I exercise daily. I use a steam shower nightly. I eat an organic vegan diet. I'm now enjoying life with my children and grandchildren. My husband and I are traveling in our RV. So grateful that God made our bodies to miraculously heal. If you are still suffering as you hear this, please know I have been there and life will return to you. Now, episode 20, I did D.E. Foster back in June of 2020. And yesterday when I was texting with D., he was actually traveling in the car. So we were trying to get some quick updates. So what he said is he's doing well. He still has some protracted symptoms at 7 years out, but they are improved. He has made great progress as the co-chair with the Benzodiazepines Action Work Group in Colorado. He's been involved in a peer recovery coach program for benzos. He just did his 95th benzo-free podcast and still has his website, www.easinganxiety.com, which is about supporting those struggling with the complications of anti-anxiety medications. So please listen to his podcast and check out his website. Now, the next one I want to do is Josh Fitzmaurice, who was episode 21 back in June of 2020. And Josh said, I am almost 5 years off. And although I have my battles every day, I try to do my best to push through and not let this control me. I started 2 companies throughout this journey. One is slickshades.com, which is S-L-Y-K, shades, S-H-A-D-E-S.com. And the other is Timber and Flow, T-I-M-B-E-R-A-N-D-F-L-O-W.com, that has helped to take my time and attention and redirect my focus. Things continue to change, and I'm still hopeful for a full recovery one day. I try to take life one day at a time and live by the motto, this too shall pass. My advice would be to find something you are truly passionate about and focus as much energy as possible into it, and the days will go by quicker and healing becomes more bearable. So really, I'm going to suggest go back and listen to Josh's podcast, episode 21. Josh was on I believe it was Klonopin, and it really harmed him. And that's why I always say a lot of us have stomach issues, because these drugs can harm you. And from his bed, he started to learn how to make sunglasses. So people often, I've seen on the groups, people saying, will I ever have a career again? I've lost so much. And Josh has, these companies are amazing. And, you know, I've Josh lives here in Massachusetts. He's on Cape Cod. So if you love Cape Cod stuff, look at his websites. And I believe fully in supporting benzo people. I want to do an update on Rose Yesha, who was episode 33 that we did in March of 2020. She says, hello, all. I'm here to give an update since my interview on the Benzo Awareness podcast back in March. I have successfully discontinued gabapentin. I was first prescribed this medication in the aftermath of my acute withdrawal from Klonopin in 2019. I ambitiously attempted to accelerate my taper from Transine, a crossover benzodiazepine I started in 2020, and I was hit with a lot of debilitating symptoms, including severe anxiety, insomnia, nerve pain, and akathisia. I have fortunately been able to stabilize. Currently, I am preparing for an extended taper. I use a Gemini scale to slowly reduce my dose each month, also known as dry cutting. I had not planned for my taper to take this long, but I have learned that this may be part of the journey. I have been on benzodiazepines for almost 2 decades. I feel fortunate that I have the support of an amazing community. Due to the lack of medical support, finding the proper resources to safely discontinue my medication has undoubtedly saved my life. I would like to extend my support and solidarity to the many individuals and their families who are affected by the benzo injury. My mission is to continue spreading awareness about the potentially disabling and deadly consequences of taking benzodiazepines as prescribed. So that's all of them. So now I thought, okay, should I do an update on myself since we had taken a break? You know, I went to Florida back in April because my mother is 93 and requires a lot of help. She's a polio victim. You know, she only has the use of her left arm. And she's had colon cancer, which has added some complications to her life. So literally, the day that we arrived, we got a call that my husband's PSA count was very high and that, you know, as soon as we got back, they wanted to start doing tests. But prior to us leaving, my husband was having chest pain. We made him go to the hospital, and because they wanted him to stay overnight and do some tests and whatnot, he checked himself out. So thankfully, his internist had called him and had said, you know what, I'm going to schedule for your nuclear stress test as soon as you get back. Which we did. We arrived and he's like, I'm going to cancel that. Thank God we didn't, because he ended up, his LAD was 100% blocked. He had 2 more stents put in. And then once he did that, we had to start the process of all these tests for the prostate. And because of the heart issues, you're not supposed to have like even a biopsy, anything that makes you bleed. So he would have to go in the hospital just to go in to have like a prostate MRI. And long story short, you know, my husband had prostate cancer and They said that we couldn't wait. We wanted to be able to go back to Florida and help my mother again. So as all the tests were taking place at the beginning of October, you know, they told us, no, that they were going to book him for November 3rd. So we hung up the phone and booked to go to Florida and went at least for 3 weeks to get down and help my mother. So he's had his surgery. And then we had the Massachusetts State House hearing, which I was going to have some benzo people here so we could all do the Zoom hearing together. But my husband was not in great shape. So the hearing took place on November 8th. And now my husband's still recuperating. He's had a little bit of setbacks with infections and whatnot. But I guess it takes the body time to heal. And so I've just been taking care of him. So I am planning on trying to get a few podcasts done right now because I do have to go back to Florida again. My sister is going to be having her knee replaced again since they put in the wrong size knee. So I'll be taking care of my mother and my sister. So I think the reason I'm saying all this is, you know, I've had a lot of stress. I try to control my stress. I should be exercising more. But again, like Ken said in his, I'm responsible. I haven't been eating perfect. I haven't been exercising. And I do feel better when I do all of that. So I've got to get myself back on track. So that's about it. I like I said, I always have things for me. I have signs that I pay attention to, like when my neck and shoulders get stiff, when my breathing gets a little off. I know it's time to kind of pull it back in and protect my body. And I'm a little run down, to be honest. So anyway, that is the update. And Garrett, anything else to add with what's been going on with us? Hold on. He's just going to get on here.
Like what?
Well, I mentioned the State House, so that all took place, and mm-hmm. we are still waiting for an answer on that, correct?
Yeah, which no matter what, you have to get an answer. What's today's date that we're recording this? The 17th, so you're 2 weeks away from what we call Joint Rule 10,
mm-hmm.
which basically requires whatever the committee is that had the original jurisdiction over the bill needs to have a report on the bill by that date, which is the first Tuesday or Wednesday in February.
Mm-hmm.
So have an answer by that.
Yeah, and I will say, because it was Zoom this year, we mm-hmm. also had a lot more people testifying, and people can go online and watch that. I believe if you go to YouTube to the Benzo Information Coalition YouTube channel, they separated out the doctors and Sonia and myself separately, and then they have the testimonies of everybody else, and you know, they're very powerful, very impactful, and the doctors' testimonies are fantastic if you want to hear some doctors on our side.
Yeah.
Yeah, what did you think of it that day?
So, you know, I've gotten used to doing the Zoom hearings, like having my own committee and sitting through long, long hearings. So it seemed like that committee did everything from home. We do things from inside the State House, so it was a little bit different. But it does give people more of an opportunity to kind of speak their mind. Like, it's overwhelming. If you've never been to the State House, never been in a hearing room, it's overwhelming being in there sometimes.
Yeah.
Because you're sitting in front of a panel of people you don't know, telling a very personal story, you know, with the now having, you know, kind of the hybrid model where you can be in or out of the State House doing these kind of things. It's like, it's easier to be at home in the comfort of your own home and talk into the camera, but you know, it's equally as effective, and there's, you know, a video recording of you doing it. So that isn't really something that we had.
We
had before.
But when we did Mayan, I went up and I'm sitting, you know, down in the office, I should have had ear things in because the audio on mine was not great. And then you could hear everybody afterwards going, "Can you hear me?" And you were next door over in your place. So if you were here, maybe you could have said, "Hey, stop for a minute." And you were kind of wishing that they stopped me and let me start over. But
I never really understand why they don't stop people when they have. So we have like an excellent IT department that, you know, if there is something going on your end, they can help you out. And for whatever reason, I think just because the hearings are so long,
yeah,
they're like, you know, just let her get her thing out. And maybe it's an issue on our end and we'll hear it, you know, back whenever we listen to the recording, which is what a lot of committees will do. Like, they'll let you get your testimony out, but really they're just going through the motions, and then like staff will go through the video and written testimony after.
And I would say the best part of the Zoom hearing was that all these doctors that don't even live around here could testify on our behalf, because we've never been able to have anybody testify on our behalf. It was always the doctors coming in against the bill. And so for that...
Well, they've always been able to submit the written testimony, but there's something about being there in person to, you know, put a face behind it and, you know, a little bit of emotion.
Because we have had doctors write on our behalf, but that's different. And are they going to read them all, every single person on the committee? So this was by far fantastic to see them and hear them speak on the suffering that people go through was amazing. Yeah, I loved it. I would love to always do it that way, but I'm hoping, I have hope we're going to make it through this time. I really do.
I mean, I do too. I think it's difficult for things to pass their first time through. Like, and you could say, okay, well, we've done this a bunch of times, but
we're on our fourth.
Yeah, so the first time was a late file. It really never had a shot then. And then you had like a new chair, and now again you have a new chair again in this committee, which I don't know why there's so much turnover there. But, you know, he's a younger guy. He understands the issue.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like he's going to be there for a while. He knows it's been in his committee over and over again. It's one of his bigger hearings. To set aside a hearing just for one bill is a difficult thing. You know, I had to just do it recently, and it's like, well, it really, like, puts a stop to your committee, so you pay extra attention to it.
Mm-hmm.
So I won't be surprised if it gets through this portion of it this time around.
What happens after this? If it goes through, then what happens?
Well, it depends. So they would give it a favorable report, is what it's called, and then they would report it out to the clerk's office. The clerk's office would then decide where it goes next. So it may go to House Ways and Means. It could go to Healthcare Finance, things like that. And they give it like a second look where they have a different experts in that committee where they look at the impact of passing that kind of bill. And then it starts bouncing back and forth between the House and the Senate for it to be voted on.
And do we ever speak again?
No.
No. Okay. No.
It only has one public hearing.
Okay.
And then obviously if it ever got to the floor, it would be part of a floor debate.
Okay. All right. And then we invited to that? Or that's still all debating between them?
Well, so difficult to say in COVID times, are you invited to that? Yeah, I mean, so the state, Massachusetts State House, is, I think, is the only state house in the country that's not open to the public right now, in some sense. That so the public can't just come in and watch a public debate anymore. We do have cameras on 24 hours a day as they're in there, so you could be there that way. Which is just as good. It's not like you can speak during a floor debate or anything like that. But.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you. It's good that we have you for that update. All right. So that's the end of our 2021 recap. And we can only hope that I can start getting a few more done before I leave. I know Garrett's always after me to get them done, but it's between getting people and his schedule. I mean, you know, even though he works at the State House, he's busy, you know, even working from home. So, all right, everyone, I want to thank you for listening, and I want to thank you for always the comments that we get. Continue to subscribe to the YouTube channel. That will help us, you know, bring it up when people are searching, even on the podcast app. And that's the end of the recap show. Thank you.